morning again. Greetings in the name of Christ. That was one of Brother Sam's favorite songs. If you remember that, he used to ask you to sing that a lot. Appreciate that. We do greet you in the name of Christ. We'll be speaking to you today from the Old Testament. Brother Sam used to call that the Old Bible. You remember that? The Old Bible. The Old Testament, the book of 1 Chronicles in chapter number 12. Now, the New Testament tells us that these stories in the Old Testament are for our learning, for our admonition. You know, they're examples of things that God's people have gone through that are applicable and things that we can learn from. You know, hopefully we can learn from the history of others. And if we don't learn from history, we're doomed to repeat it. And that's what they say. There's a lot of good lessons of life. The people of God struggled. They had many, many hardships and failures. And the Bible tells us why. A wonderful thing about the Word of God is that it just tells it like it is. Amen? Tells us what happened and what will happen to us if we tread the same path. But today's reading is going to be a good time in the nation, as the nation is united under the kingdom of David, and it's a good period of prosperity, and it's a time of joy. But there's something in here I want us to look at. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, begin verse 22. Bear with me. We'll read down to verse 39. 1 Chronicles, verse 22. For at that time, day by day, there came to David to help him until it was a great host, like the host of God. And these are the numbers of the bands that were ready armed to war and came to David to Hebron, to turn the kingdom of Saul to him according to the word of the Lord. The children of Judah, their bear the shield and spear, were 6,800 armed, ready armed to war. The children of Simeon, mighty men of valor, for the war, 7,100. The children of Levi, this is the priestly tribe, 4,600. Jehoiada was the leader of the Aaronites, and with him were 3,700. Zadok, a young man, mighty of valor, and his father's house, 22 captains. And of the children of Benjamin, the kindred of Saul, 3,000, for hitherto the greatest part of them had kept the ward of the house of Saul. And the children of Ephraim, 20,800 mighty men of valor, famous throughout the house of their fathers, and half the tribe of Manasseh, 18,000 which were expressed by name to come and make David king, and the children of Issachar, which were men that understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200, and all the brethren were at their commandment. Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war with all instruments of war, 50,000, which could keep rank, they were not of a double heart, and Naphtali, 1,000 captains, and with them with shield and spear, 37,000. And the Danites, experts in war, 28,600. And Asher, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, 40,000. And the other side of Jordan, the Reubenites and the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh, with all manner of instruments of war for battle, 120,000. All these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel, and all the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. And there were with them David 3 days eating and drinking, for their brethren had prepared for them. Beautiful story in the life of the nation there. Let us look to verse 32. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. It gives a description here of these men of Issachar, and it says they were men that had understanding of the times and to know what Israel ought to do. And I thought about that this week. If we could be, this is a characteristic that would be good for us as God's children today, to be like the men of Issachar. It'd be nice to have that rope about you long after we're deceased, somebody be able to say they were men of understanding and knew what they ought to do and what Israel ought to do. So, like the men of Issachar, let's pray. Lord, thank you for the blessings of being here today. We pray you bless your word. Add your blessings to the word of God. Might it be an encouragement to us, dear Lord. And if we don't know the times and have an understanding of that, I pray that the Spirit of God would reveal that and help us to see that these are very special times that we live in, and we need to discern the times, and we need to have understanding to know what to do. Lord, sometimes we struggle in life. We don't know what, where to go, what to do. I pray the Spirit of God would lead us, dear Lord, if we're here today struggling about an issue, we don't know what we ought to do. I pray that the Spirit would reveal those things unto us today. We pray if there be one among us who's lost and undone, unprepared for the times that we live in and what's coming. I pray that today they would make peace with you in Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. So a beautiful scene in the life of Israel, and it makes a list of the tribes that have come here. Now, David, before this time, had moved over into Ziklag, part of the Philistine territory, and he had some following over there. But when King Saul, remembered, David would not lift up his hand against King Saul. But when the time come, King Saul was killed in battle, and the nation began to come to terms with the fact that we need leadership. And so David had moved to Hebron before he was made king. He reigned 7.5 years there. And you have this time to where, you know, these people that had been times past loyal to Saul, and Saul was a miserable failure. Miserable failure, but he was the king. He was the first anointed king of Israel. And a lot of those people were loyal to him, especially the tribe of Benjamin, because Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin. But when the time comes, all of these different tribes begin to come. They see the writing on the wall, and they realize that for the kingdom to be great, for us to be what God has called us to be, we need to unite. And it's abundantly clear at this time that God has chosen David to be the king. And so they come troop by troop here to Hebron to make David king. And the writer gives a description of all these people. A lot of them, these tribes, are men of war. You know, it tries to say something good about them. Hello, we need to learn from that, don't we? The book of Revelation, the seven churches, you know, the Lord has something good to say about all them churches. There's some complaints and some things to admonish them about, but you do have this going for you, you know. So the writer here is listing some good characteristics about all of these people. Some of them were good at fighting, some of them were armed, but this particular tribe of Issachar, just out of nowhere, it just says these were men which had an understanding of the times. Issachar, the fifth son of Jacob and Leah, something like that. But he is one of the tribes of the 12 tribes. He is also one of those of the 10 tribes that became lost in the destruction of the first kingdom, was carried away to Assyria. The tribe of Issachar later becomes one of the lost tribes, tragically. But here in today's lesson, this is a good story. And the Bible has something good to say about these people of Issachar. It says, which were men that had understanding of the times. They had a heart to discern that the time is right. The times demand that we do something here. And what they're doing is showing their support to David, and we've come to anoint him king, to support him, to unite the kingdom under the leadership of David. They realize this is a critical time in the nation. What man is there that could look at today's world and say that this is not a critical time in our country? Critical. Critical. Now, the men of Issachar had an understanding of that. There's a lot of people in our world today that don't really have an understanding of that. They it is what it is. You know? Let's live another day. But these are critical times for our nation, and we need to be able to understand and to discern this like the men of Issachar were able. Be glad. Wouldn't it be good people could say about us, now there is a man of God who has an understanding of times. I don't mean we have to understand everything about the times, but it means that we need to have an understanding that times are critical. That we are living in a very special time in the history of not only our nation, but the world. The world has been in that change in mode at least since 2020. Who could ignore that? That pretty much all bets are off in, you know, things. So these are critical times. We need to be able to understand that. And it says, furthermore, that they had understanding of the times and to know what they ought to do. And there's some people realize, hey, things are at critical mass, but hey, we don't know what to do, what to do. Aren't you glad that God has given His children instructions not only to recognize and discern the signs of the times, but also to know what to do? To know what to do. So, first of all, recognizing critical times. Number two, knowing what to do. So the men of Issachar realize critical time in our nation, and we know what we need to do. We need to be a part of this movement to go and to anoint David, the king over all Israel, to unite the kingdom. And you know what? It worked, and it was a great coming together there of God's people. There had been some divisions, you know. Like I say, those who followed Saul, some resented David because he had branched off and went down to Ziklag and actually worked a little bit with some of the Philistines there. But there had been friction. But hey, it's time for God's people to come together. And they recognized that, and they knew what to do about it. They got involved. They took action. They knew what to do.
and they done it. Beautiful time there. They were, this is one of the most beautiful stories in the nation. It wasn't always that good. They had some more good times, but they had lots of struggles too. This is not as long, but a similar scene when Solomon dedicated the temple and they all came together there. And so for this 3 days, they're all together. And we have made David king. He will reign there in Hebron for 7.5 years and move to Jerusalem and set up the capital and his throne from Jerusalem. And he had a very prosperous reign. King David, the height of the kingdom. But the men of Issachar were men that had an understanding of the times. You know, you look around the world and you just have to question and wonder, that people don't get it. They don't really understand what's going on in the world. They're blinded. They're clueless. They don't have any understanding of the times, and then they certainly don't know what they ought to do. I want us to go to the New Testament now for a couple of references. When Jesus talked about end times in the Gospel of St. Luke in chapter 21, he gave some characteristics of some things, and one of these things is quite interesting to me. In Luke 21, verses 25 through 28, he said, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall you see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to come to pass," Jesus talking to his people, "when these things begin to come to pass, go dig a hole and hide in the earth, be scared to death. No, listen, then look up, lift your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." That is our instruction. But look here in verse 25, "And there shall be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity." That word perplexity means at wit's end. It means that what world leaders, we don't know what to do. You know, nobody has a solution. We don't know what to do in our country. Hey, you know, we can't even function hardly anymore as a government. We don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. There seems to be a person of the stature of the men of Issachar who say, "Here's what we need to do. You know, we don't have a man to unite the world or even our country. In times, or even our local communities. Somebody with a vision. Somebody says, here's what we need to do." Nobody knows what to do. It says the men of Issachar knew what Israel ought to do. A lot of people today, they don't know what they need to do. We're confronted with day-to-day issues in our lives. And at times, you know, we struggle. What do I need to do about this? I don't know what to do. With sin, that's a picture of the world here that Jesus gives. In His coming, the world will be perplexed. With sin, we've tried this, we've tried that, we don't know what to do. You know, there's some very complicated problems out there, and we don't know how to solve. We don't have a plan. We don't know what to do. We're going this way and that way. God wants His people to know what to do. the men of Issachar. It says they had understanding of the times and know what Israel ought to do. This is what we need to do. You know, some people are indecisive. And I would remind you that the roadway is littered with the carcasses of squirrels who can't make up their mind. Of the times. A lot of people don't recognize the times that we live in, that these are critical times. Jesus, confronted with the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they claimed to know all about the Word of God and the promised kingdom. They knew the Messiah's coming, but when He came, they couldn't see Him. They believed that the kingdom was coming, but when the kingdom stood in front of them, they couldn't see it. When Jesus walked this earth, the kingdom of God was in His presence. It was Him. If you've seen Him, you saw the kingdom of God. And these people who made it their life study to understand and to know these things and about the coming of the Messiah and all this, they were clueless when it came. Matthew chapter 16 says the Pharisees also with the Sadducees. This is both groups. In our society, this would be the Republicans and the Democrats. Both groups here. And tempting desired Him that He should show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, when it is even, you say that it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Oh, ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall no sign be given it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. He didn't fool with them much. Because they always want more proof, more signs and wonders. You cannot discern the signs of the times. These were people that should have been able to recognize the Lord's Christ, the Anointed. They made it their life's study to know about these things, but they couldn't. They didn't have an understanding of the times. They didn't realize that they were living in a special time, that the Messiah has come and stood before them. And they couldn't discern the times. There are people who are clueless today. In our world today, in our country and all over the world, they know something crazy is going on in the world, but they don't have an understanding of time. They don't know what this means. They don't understand that we are living in the end times and that these things are foretold in the Bible, that they're happening in real time. The Christian should discern the times. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 through 14, St. Paul says, and that knowing the time, we should know the time. We should have understanding of the times that we live in. Admitting that, amen? And if we know that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, drunkenness, or in chambering, wantonness, not in strife or envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. It is high time. these are critical times, and we know that. We should know that. And in fact, being the case that we know it, you know, let's put on the Lord Jesus, the armor of light. You know, we are not in darkness that this day should overtake us, you know, as a thief in the night. Will come like a thief in the night. The time is a high time. You know, we recognize as the church today, as God's people, that it is high time. You know, the time is now, is high time. It's time for us to wake up and to know what to do, to do it. The children of Issachar were men of understanding. Boy, I think that's a characteristic that's lacking in our culture today. People with understanding of the times who can discern the things that are actually going on in real time as we're living it. You see, we are living in the times that our forefathers told us about. These times were coming, and now all of a sudden we're here and it's happening. It's happening. And sometimes there's a shock factor. Whoa, I wasn't ready for this. Why wouldn't we? It wasn't as if we'd been preached to and taught all of our lives. It's not as if we weren't familiar with the Word of God. But sometimes it takes us, we're taken aback. Because what it was, we woke up one day and here we are in these critical times. God, give us understanding of the times, and that we would be able to understand and to know indecision to get you. We cannot be indecision to know what to do, and we can know what to do. The men of Issachar will forever be an example to God's people that we need to be men of understanding of the times, and can be. These things are not hidden from God's people. You know, God wants us to be aware of what He is about to do so that we won't be overtaken unaware. So we need to have understanding of the times, and can, you know, hey, that's too far, that's too complicated. Hey, it is our business to be men of understanding of the times. You know, God doesn't want us to be in darkness if these things come upon us unaware. But Jesus taught us that we should be expert watchers, that we should be watching these things begin to unfold. We know these things are coming, and we are prepared. We know what to do. What to do. The men of Issachar had an understanding of the times. It was time for them to act. Do you understand the times that we live in? That these are critical times. That things are not going to go on forever. We've had some things brought to our attention since 2020 that we had heard about, but then we've seen firsthand these things can disrupt our lives. There are other things out there. You know, life is uncertain. We are not secure. We are not secure. Things can change and come upon us quickly, and we need to recognize that. We need to have an understanding of the times, and we need to know what to do. Now, what to do? What do we do? Do you know what to do? A world of people know something crazy is going on, but they don't have a clue what it is or what to do. As a church, we need to have compassion upon those who do not know what to do. It's like the squirrel in the middle of the road. They go that way, he'd be safe if he went that way, and they turn right around and run right into your car. back and forth. It's almost like they're trying to commit suicide right there in the middle of the highway. People are like that today. But we must be patient and compassionate with those who don't have a clue what's going on. They know something is going on, and then they don't know what to do. We say, well, they ought to. They ought to know what to do. Well, how are they going to know unless some man guide them? It's what the Ethiopian eunuch told to Philip. How shall I know about some man guide me? You know, do you know what the Word of God says? How can I except some man guide me? There's where you come in. The book of Jonah, another little Old Testament story. Jonah was commanded to go into Nineveh. That's part of Assyria, dreaded enemies of the people of God. Had no use for those people. Did not want to go there to start with, but he had to be motivated, and he did go. And when he went and preached that destruction was coming upon them, something shocking happened. That was, they believed it. Jonah really didn't care whether they believed it or not, but he really didn't expect such a response. Sometimes we don't expect much of a response. You know, we say, well, it won't do any good. What if we tell people about Jesus? Hey, just share the word. Let God do his part. But in this story, something extraordinary happened. That is, the whole nation repented, and God repented of the evil and destruction, and the people were saved. And that really didn't please Jonah. He probably didn't look like these people deserved to be saved. But remember what God told him? Jonah's pouting because his prophecy didn't come true. And in the last verse in the book of Jonah, God says, "And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein is more than 60,000 people that cannot discern their right hand from their left, and much cattle?" 120,000 people live in this city, and they don't know what to do. They can't tell their right hand from their left. But they repented. These were people who didn't know what to do. But Jonah told them, and they repented. So, have compassion on those who are like the squirrel in the middle of the road and they don't know what to do. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. Well, there are some that say, well, ignorance is bliss. No, it ain't. You know better than that. If they don't know, they don't know. I tell you what that means. If they don't know, they're going to die lost. And your and my job is to try to do what we can to tell them about the gospel. Just because they don't know the right hand from their left doesn't mean that to just dismiss it and say, hey, there ain't nothing you can do with them. Ignorance is not an excuse. Paul said in Athens, the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he is given assurance unto all men in that he's raised him from the dead. Ignorance is not an excuse anymore, but God doesn't wink at the ignorance of those that don't know. It is our job to warn them, to tell them, to share the gospel. Those that don't know their right hand from their left. In Sunday school today, we talked about it is getting more difficult for us as believers to interact with the world. There's such a schism in culture today. There's such a divide. There's such a disconnect. You know, I find it difficult, quite frankly, at times, you know, to interact with people that the gap has grown bigger in the last few years, really bigger. But we still have a job to do. We can't say, well, they don't know and ain't nothing we can do about it. There is something we can do about it. It's called sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is not our business to change them and to make them understand. It is our business to share God's message of love and hope and then let God do the work. We don't have to change them. That's not your chore. Your chore is to share the gospel with them. Oh, that more people in our world could be like the men of Issachar could know. And then, sometimes even in our Christian walk, we go through things in life and we just don't know. You know, God doesn't want us as a Christian to be like that squirrel. You know, there's some things that we struggle with. I struggle with decisions from time to time. But basically, God is not trying to keep secrets from us and keeping His will from us and just playing with us and letting us be that squirrel in the middle of the road. God wants you to know His will. And sometimes that might be a struggle, but still, God wants you to know. So, the things you're struggling with today, I don't know what to do. And don't accept that. You can know. You can be like the sons of Issachar here, the tribe of Issachar. They were men of understanding of the times and they knew what Israel ought to do. You can know what you ought to do. You can. You can. The book of Ephesians chapter 5 verse 17, St. Paul says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." God wants you to know what His will is. You know, say, "Oh, I've given up trying to know. It's all too confusing for me." God is not the author of confusion. He is not. It is His will that we have some understanding, that certainly that we would have understanding of the times, and also that we would have an understanding and that we would know what we ought to do. The Word of God, prayer, dedication, these are things that will help you discover God's will. The church is a wonderful community for us to come to discover our gifts and talents, you know, and for God to reveal unto us His will and my place in ministry, you know, in the body of Christ. Oh, that we could be like the men of Issachar. Wouldn't it be nice if somewhere down in history somebody would say about us, about our church, about us as individuals, they were people of God who had an understanding of the times and they knew what they ought to do. They knew what the church ought to do. They knew what they ought to do in their personal lives. My friend, if you're struggling with that today, that is not God's fault. That is not God's fault. I believe if we seek Him in consecration, He will direct our path. He does not want us to live our Christian life in uncertainty, you know, about things, but He wants us to know, wants us to know. I'm going to ask Brother Jack to come. We're going to have a song of invitation. First of all, if you're here today and you're lost and undone, You know that some
something crazy is going on in the world, but you don't really understand the time. You don't know what you ought to do about it. Listen. When the gospel was preached on the day of Pentecost, people came to Peter and the apostles said, "What must we do?" They said, "Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus." The Philippian jailer says to St. Paul and Silas, "What must I do to be..." They don't know what to do. "Believe on the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved." There is instruction in the Word of God that tells us what to do. If you're struggling in your Christian life and you got issues and you just don't know what to do, seek the Lord and His consecration. Trust in Him. He will direct your path. He wants you to know. And finally, church, how do you feel about those who are out there that don't know their left hand from their right? They don't know the times and they don't know what to do. And they're difficult to minister to. They're difficult to share the gospel to. But you don't get a pass. We got to figure out a way. We got to figure out a way to share the gospel with all of them. Let us stand together this morning.